discussions from some of our chapter members from down in Senator Erickson Rope's area. After a discussion of more of an explanation of why the chapters from down that area want Senator Erickson Rope's bill to be passed into law, is expressed in the letter and in the petitions that was, I think, emailed to you earlier, our corporate board voted unanimously to support the bill. When I was talking with Mr. Bogus and Mr. Cornicelli from the DNR before our break, this was something that's only 4 or 5 years old that I think I could characterize it as an experiment that now a lot of people didn't want in the first place and are now asking to have undone. And I think that's the gist of my testimony today.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Does the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association want the legislature to get involved with this issue?
Yes, sir. As I said, we have about 110 members of our corporate board that attended our corporate board meeting in February, and I think it was unanimous to support adding those couple of days back that weekend back into the bee season.
Okay. Because I hear periodic criticism of the legislature interfering with the DNR's work. Does the Deer Hunters Association disagree?
Mr. Chairman, I've represented the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association for 15 years. Over the past 5 or 6, we've been in quite a good concert with the Department of Natural Resources. When I first started working for the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association in the middle 90s, we were at complete odds with the Department of Natural Resources on a consistent and regular basis. And some of the members that Senator Fredrickson was here in those days. Before the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association hired a lobbyist, the individual chapters of our association were all over the board in regards to what they felt after hearing communications from the DNR. And I think I'll just leave that at that. And maybe Senator Fredrickson wants to add something. But, I mean, that's the gist of it, sir, is that we very much want the legislature to get involved in this issue. And in the past, we have been parochial in picking and choosing when we support the DNR's positions. Now, I will say that in my discussions with Bob Meyer, I think he's Assistant Commissioner Bob Meyer, about 10 days ago, I asked what was the DNR's opposition to having this proposal. And I was told by Mr. Meyer that they didn't want it put in statute. They wanted the flexibility. I said, well, if you'll give me a memo saying you'll change the rule back to what it was prior to 2003 or 4, I believe, then we no longer have any concerns. And my answer to him also was, the legislature meets every year. I mean, if there's a big concern or a big problem, this can be readdressed next year. Quite frankly, this was, as I described, a 3 or 4 year experiment, and there are petitions before the legislature, which you've received, that say we'd like to have this go back to the way it was before.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you. Just to clarify one small thing that Mr. Kelleher said, this is the 3A section. Yeah. I think you said 3B.
That could be. I'd have to look in my pocket.
We'll note that clarification for the record. And that's fine. I mean, it is the legislature's prerogative to make law. In fact, we make all the laws, contrary to what many people think and what authority the administration has to issue rules is also done with express authorization by law. And sometimes that gets what I've noticed in the sportsman world that fact kind of gets confused, and so people get irritated. Why are the politicians doing something? And they don't understand that we make the law and the executive branch executes it. Now, there are some caveats to that. In the natural resource realm in particular, there are a lot of science-based decisions that need to be made. And we rely on the technicians and the scientists in the Department of Natural Resources, those quote-unquote experts that do the day-to-day work on this issue. We rely on them heavily for important information regarding these decisions. But if we are going to assume an issue and propose to do it by statute, we will seek the technical and scientific information as well. It won't be just a purely political decision. And so if we want to get into this, we will, and we will. This committee is, as far as I'm concerned, we can get into the wildlife management issues and the importance of how we manage our deer populations for population size, meat, all of those things, and based on region and importance to hunters. So that's just my feeling on the matter. So, Senator Kielash, you had your hand up, and then I'll take Senator Saxon.
Just a question for the Deer Hunters Association. One of the things that I don't like about this is that you've picked a spot of the state for a particular change and altering the DNR's rules and that. And it seems to me that if this moves forward, there will be several other parts of the state that the DNR's rules may need adjusting. And once again, we'll be revisiting the same issue over and over again in just other regions, hunting regions of the state. That's one of the things that you said you just assumed that the legislature take over for the DNR's rulemaking and this area, and I'm just wondering if you're comfortable with doing this in every part of the state, and if the DNR is screwing up in the rest of the state according to this, your statement, I guess, is probably is.
Mr. Keller, and maybe you can speak to the uniqueness of this zone, too. It's historically been treated differently, but go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash. I think to answer your question about the Deer Hunters Association coming forward and suggesting that this particular region of the state have this extra days added on. And as I said earlier, I would say that they're being added back on. We're trying to put back what something was always there. And Senator Erickson Ropes District and good chunks of all of southeastern Minnesota, there is an abundance of deer. A great many, many, many deer, and has been probably for the 15 years that I've represented the Deer Hunters Association. And I should state, too, for the committee, and I think most of the senior members know this, I'm a representative of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. This is not my idea in regards to public policy. However, I don't agree that we are picking and choosing different zones of the state to have our input or our fingerprint on the way that we believe the management of the deer should be. We were asked by our chapters down in that region of the state to help them get back something they once had. As I said, and I could be slightly off, but it's been 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, since the DNR changed what had a long time been in existence. To my knowledge, I think every other Deer Hunter chapter and the other zones are very happy with their seasons. But I can't say that universally. You can always find one or two people or small groups that have different opinions.
Senator Kielash? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Senator Saxon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think we've got quite a bit of information on both sides. I'm just wondering if we should table us and for possible inclusion.
We got to hear from the DNR on this, too. Why don't we go ahead and do that? While they're approaching, Senator Erickson Ropes.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Scott Bjornson is at the table. He has some additional comments.
Very briefly, because we did entertain your testimony earlier.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned we should talk specifically about this zone, and I would like to mention it's a big zone. There's approximately 50,000 hunters, and I believe there's only one or two MDHA chapters even in this zone, maybe very small percentages of hunters in that zone.
Okay. All right. Mr. Cornicelli, are you available to comment? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Sorry I was a little bit late.
Mr. Bogus, were you going to add some comments to us? Okay. Go ahead. Whoever would like to begin.
Mr. Chair and members, maybe I'll just briefly give a bit of background from the DNR's perspective, and then Mr. Cornicelli, who's our big game specialist, has been heavily involved, can fill in the details. Ed Bogus, again, with DNR Fish and Wildlife, and we've been doing a number of things over the years around the state to look at simplifying deer seasons, changing deer seasons. We changed the structure of the southeast season in 2003, so we were thinking that was 5 years when you do the math. It's actually this past fall was the sixth year for these new regulations. We went through a very extensive public input process. There was a lot of interest. There was a lot of different opinions, a lot of opposition and support for what was proposed. We've also been doing some research projects on alternative deer management strategies, early antlerless hunts, antler point restrictions, earn a buck, things like that that are designed to maintain our ability to manage the deer herd, but allow for some change in the structure of the deer herd. We hear from deer hunters they'd like more quality deer. There's a lot of different definitions of what people mean by quality deer. And we do some of that for fisheries and fishing where people want larger fish and things like that. So we're kind of going from the realm of the strict population biology into what type of age and sex structure do hunters want in the deer. And we've done surveys in the past. We're committed to doing more surveys of what licensed hunters are interested in the future, and also more process with the different interests. As you've heard today, there's a lot of different ideas about where the deer hunting should go, and we're committed to exploring some of those, and I think ultimately trying some new things, at least on a pilot basis, in some additional areas of the state. So with that, I would just say that, you know, our primary concern about this bill is that it would tie our hands in those discussions, at least on this particular issue, by setting the specific season dates in statute. And it also doesn't quite restore the previous status quo, because we shortened the A season, the 3A season, by 2 days and added 2 days to the 3B season back in 2003. And this restores the 2 days to the 3A season, but it doesn't remove the 2 days that were added to the 3B season. So there's some potential to increase the pressure on the larger deer that was part of what led to the change to begin with. So with that, there have just been recent discussions in southeastern Minnesota. We've committed to do some things, and I'd ask Mr. Cornicelli to talk some more specifically about what we're doing right now.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you want me to give you the history of the public input that went into the change, or you want me to skip that?
A little bit, okay. Yeah.
It was actually my first big task when I started here, but we wound up, our deer management committee, which is an assemblage of area managers and conservation officers, moved a proposal forward for our management team to consider, which included shortening the 3A season to 5 days. And to back up a little bit, there's two seasons. The 3A season was formerly known as what they called the buck season, where you could only harvest antler deer. The 3B season was an either sex season where you could take any deer, but about 80% of those deer taken are antlerless. So our management season was in the B season, which was late. And as you all know, we manage deer populations by regulating antlerless harvest, so we want to try and put pressure on females, because as we talked about this morning, there's some population issues down there. So we want to drive harvest rates of females up and perhaps drive harvest rates of males down. So the original proposal back in early 2003 was to shorten the buck season to 5 days, to lengthen the 3B season to 9 days, to allow some either sex deer hunting in the A season, the former buck season, and then also to allow people to hunt both seasons. All four of those got very little support. The best was just under 50% for allowing doe harvest in the A season. Everything else was anywhere from 20 to 35. That was the original proposal. That's where we had 800 people or so attend four public meetings. That's the Winona meeting you talked about. We went back and we took all that public input in. We went back internally and came out with a modified proposal. So the one we put forward for change was actually to drop the provision to allow you to hunt both seasons, was to lengthen the 3A season from the five in the original proposal to seven, to keep the 9 days, you know, the 9-day addition on the 3B season, and then to allow either sex hunting. We took public input again just via email. We didn't do another series of in-person meetings. We got, I think my notes were 125 emails, general support for doing that as a better alternative than the 5 days. So that's what we went forward with, starting with the 2003 deer season. So I'll add that, you know, we did a couple things that really weren't popular, one of which was managing antlerless deer during the A season, and that turns out that's been quite well accepted. So we've we've seen increasing harvest rates on females. We still have population issues in Zone 3 in general, and that's where you've seen the addition of early antlerless and the talk of urnabuck hunting in order to try and drive some of those populations lower than what they are. Recently, we've seen an interest from not only Bluffland whitetails, it's important to note interest from people, just general hunters not affiliated with groups, who are saying that, you know, we've got these populations kind of where we want them to be. We'd like to talk about managing for a different kind of deer, which means a more mature buck. So we're now getting kind of into that social end of deer management. And to separate, I'm a biologist by training, but I'm almost done with a PhD in social science, so I'm kind of, this is tough for me to explain.
Well, it's important for the committee to know if we're going to hear these issues.
Okay.
That hunting and fishing is science and social.
It's a blending. And as I get a little bit older and a little bit shorter, I think, is that this is more and more social. I mean, the biology is paramount. We want to try and manage these populations towards an established goal that we set through a public process. But that's paramount, getting on top of some of these high deer populations. But congruent with that is the fact that we can do it a number of different ways. You know, we can manage through antler point restrictions. We can manage through delaying the season. We can manage through status quo, and perhaps all of those work. So we're trying to get a handle on which of those are going to be accepted by the public as we move forward with this new era of deer management. So we've been working with the public, also with Bluffland Whitetails and also with the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, to get an idea of what regulations can folks support in order to achieve those goals of social and biology. And we committed, we had a great meeting on Friday with a bunch of people, including some professionals in Iowa and Missouri, to talk about different strategies. And we're ready to move forward with some surveys to look at some of those trade-offs. Are you willing to start hunting a week later? Are you willing to take a certain type of buck in order to achieve this delicate balance? So I think, you know, we're on the verge of doing having some good information next year to make some decisions on where we should go with some of these deer populations in the context of the greater need to manage for biology. So, you know, our interest is to move forward with that with respect to managing these deer populations. And we are taking a lot of public input, both random surveys, which is what we're planning to do this spring and summer, or this summer, and also an online component as well. So I think we're getting close to moving forward some of the stuff. But there's a lot of interest out there for a different kind of deer without giving up some base recreational opportunity, if that answers the question.
And so what you're saying is that you've had this particular system for 6 years, and the DNR is now considering modifying it in a number of ways over the next couple of years, or when is it? Does it have a target date?
Mr. Chair, we'd likely survey this summer and then take broader public input this winter with a 2010 implementation strategy, which we typically like to do a random survey because that gives us the best sense of what's going on with the general deer hunter, and then go to public input for that focused information from the people who have a real, you know, committed interest that want to come talk to us, and then we try and make those decisions. So 2010 would be the implementation schedule for something new. And certainly there's interest with delaying the deer season, with antler point restrictions, with ending cross-tagging on bucks. There's not a lot of interest in combining those two seasons. It came up last Friday, which I think was mentioned already. But so our goal would be 2010 to do something different.
All right. Okay. I did hear a presentation that there is some biology involved with the managing for different size of deer. Are you saying that it's totally social, or are there biological and ecological impacts
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, there's both. I think if you look at certain types of regulations like Ernebuck, where we require someone to take an antlerless deer first, that may have a secondary trade-off of a few more males in the population, because we know most people only take one type of deer. But that's a biological recommendation, because we're forcing you to take a doe before you can do anything else. Something like an antler point restriction, where you take a certain segment of the buck population off the table, someone may or may not take an antlerless deer. So that's going to be more of a social regulation, although it does have some biological implications, because we don't see lower antlerless harvest rates. We don't necessarily see higher antlerless rates. So it's a little bit of both. And then trying to define where each one sits becomes a little bit tricky, but it's getting a little bit, as we move forward with our research project, we're becoming a little bit more clear.
Is it fair to say that the concepts in these strategies, various management strategies, are continuously emerging?
Mr. Chair, yes, they are. I think one of my colleagues recognizes the three eras in deer management, and the more I think about it, the more I agree. He says we went through the not enough deer to too many deer to not the right type of deer, and now we're kind of in the not the right type of deer era. And I think those attitudes change over time. As folks get older, they have less of an interest in taking any deer. They have more of an interest in taking a certain type of deer or just going with their family. So traditions evolve over time, and opinions change over time. So it's definitely not the same as it was in 1975 when these seasons were set in rule.
What about amongst the the biologists? I mean, certainly these concepts of must be emerging. There must be new concepts and new information emerging even amongst the scientific field, is there not?
Mr. Chair, yes, there absolutely is. You know, there's different ways to manage whitetail populations, whether they're low, high, or stable, and there's different ways between states. You know, every state does it a little bit differently. You know, we've all got statutory authority to manage deer as we best determine. But yes, within the states, there's certainly different ways to do it. The old model of deer population management was we would add deer to the bag. In other words, instead of being able to legally take one, you could take two or five, or adding days to the season. It used to be 4 days, and it was nine. Now it's 16 in some areas. And we've learned that we've maximized that. In other words, we can't have if we had a 30-day deer season with an unlimited number of deer you could take, it doesn't look a lot different from a two-deer season over the course of 9 days. People only take a certain number of deer. And that varies depending on where you are in the state or in the zone in this state or what state you live in. So we look at different ways to harvest antlerless deer and manage deer populations. But a lot of it is regional. In the southeastern part of the state, you know, with the private lands, it's when you're talking Winona, Houston County, where we're talking about, it's chronically overabundant with deer populations. We struggle with different methods to take deer, and a lot of that is on the table with respect to population management.
What is your response or observations on the what I thought I heard was the primary complaint and the reason for this bill is that there's a lack of days providing the opportunity to hunt regardless of bag and population. What are your feelings on that? Now, I know that there are a number maybe I don't know. Are there other opportunities, special hunts, et cetera, or is it a valid concern that they have?
Mr. Chair, the vast majority of the deer harvest occurs on the first 3 days of the season. It's typically 60 to 70%. In the old zone 3A, which was a 9-day season, I believe it was about 10% of the total harvest actually came on that last weekend, which is one of the reasons we decided we could probably move away from it. Most of it occurs on that first weekend. So the second weekend becomes less important. The third weekend is almost not important at all. Adding the two weekend days to 3B bumped it up about 15%. People had a couple extra days. They harvested a few more deer. So we can, you know, it's probably 15% with the second weekend is the only difference. But what we did see, and I think Mr. Bjornson said it, for whatever reason, we're having people shift to the 3A season, even though the season's now shorter. So we're actually taking more deer now in 3A than we were taking under the old structure, because we've got about 4,000 or 5,000 people No, it's not that. It's about 2,000 to 3,000 people more that are actually hunting the A season that weren't before. So we've had some shifts in hunters towards the shortened season, which we actually thought would be the other way. Okay. And then with the addition of antlerless hunting in the A season, we're seeing a much, much higher percentage of total take being antlerless. So we're hoping to accomplish some population objectives. But long answer, I apologize.
No, that's all right. Well, we need, like I said, I mean, if we're going to make a decision, it's going to need to be fully informed and thorough. Senator Scogin, and then we need to adjourn.
Well, I was just curious, kind of, thank you, Mr. Chair, follow up to what you just said. Do you think they're jumping to the other zone because they're more deeply rooted in the rut at that time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scogin, no, I don't think so, because that season in 3A has existed since the mid-70s. So there was no real incentive. This is where you get into the social stuff. No real incentive to switch to that season, especially because it was shorter. But I think what we started to see is more people wanted to get into muzzleloader hunting. And in order to do that, you needed to hunt the 3A season. You couldn't – we simplified rules now, but – you couldn't hunt the 3B season and the muzzleloader season, but you could hunt the 3A season and the muzzleloader season. So we had a shift of people because they wanted to get into muzzleloader hunting, but that doesn't explain all of it. I realize it's confusing, but it's easier now.
I mean, this is all it's kind of the lesson of wildlife management.
And I appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, my original thought was I was wondering if the DNR had a definition of quality deer.
Mr. Cornicelli?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scogin, we don't. You know, our goal is to manage for, you know, under biological principles at a goal that we determine through a public process. So population management is our overarching goal. And then within that needs to be the context of social acceptability and satisfaction and everything else that goes along with why people hunt. So we don't have a defined answer for what constitutes quality, because it varies in the mind of the person hunting. But, you know, it's generally accepted that that means a good hunting experience. It means a larger antler deer and other things. But we haven't, as an agency, defined quality. We just want to try and manage for satisfaction.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We will continue to talk about this issue and whether something needs to be done. Senator Erickson Ropes, this was not an informational hearing only. We're thinking about this. So if there is no other discussion, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator.